Welcome to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE, sponsored by Logistics Plus. Today is a very special show because Logistics Plus is celebrating its 27th anniversary this month. With us today is none other than Jim Berlin, the founder, owner, and CEO of Logistics Plus. Jim, welcome back to Business Spotlight.
Thanks, Joe.
Congratulations once again on the company's 27th anniversary. You've been on this program many times before over the past several years, and we are delighted to have you join us again here today. Jim, how are you and Logistics Plus doing 8 months into 2023?
Another good year, knock on wood. Yeah, it's funny, we just keep going. Something we started and didn't know where it ended up, and it's still heading wherever it's going. So it's quite a ride.
Jim, as we reflect back on LP's anniversary this month, when we get together, I always ask you, because the story is fascinating, can you take our listeners back to the beginning and how Logistics Plus first started?
Oh, boy. Yeah, it started because I had a big mouth. I kept getting fired everywhere I went. I was a truck driver, and I got fired as that a few times. I became a terminal manager. I got fired again. But the thing was, I did have a big mouth. I probably still do. I always tell people that when I got fired from the trucking company in 1996, I could go home. I had two kids in high school. I had a wife that was, supported me. But I could go home and look in the mirror and say, you know what? I got fired for the right reason. I went to bat for our customer. I probably was a little overzealous in trying to do that. I get it, but I could live with that. I mean, I was trying to do the right thing for a customer. So I got fired. The customer I went to bat for was General Electric. I think they appreciated that. And, a few months later, I got a call and asked to start this project for them. It then became Logistics Plus. So there's no plan at all, no forethought at all, but it just kind of worked out.
Jim, when you founded LP back in 96, could you have ever imagined, and I know you get this question a lot, where the company is today? Over $500 million in sales, I believe, 1,200 employees in 50 countries around the world.
I couldn't imagine it would last the year I was supposed to when we started on. It was a one-year, $120,000 purchase order, not even a contract, for three people from General Electric, who at the time was the largest, most profitable enterprise in the history of planet Earth. So I guess I was lucky to have that as a first customer. But we took full advantage of it. We just did a good job. I mean, if nothing else, I'm passionate. I believe in what I believe, and I drive hard at that. And I think GE at the time, at least, was a company that loved that about me. I was energetic. I was hard driving. I saw something, I'd try to fix it. So I got lucky that two of the people that worked with me at the trucking company both left that voluntarily, believe it or not, and joined me as the first three employees. So I knew I had a very strong, solid team of people, and we just kind of went in and made a difference and got noticed for that.
Jim, I've talked to a lot of your employees throughout the years, and you as well, and it's safe to say that one of the strengths of LP has been its ability to adapt and evolve to an ever-changing world, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of easy. Like when we started, I said there was no business plan, there was no structures, there's nothing other than doing what I do, And so when we got involved at GE, first off, we did domestic inbound transportation. The outbound goes out they make locomotives. So the outbound goes out on the railroad tracks. But you had, hundreds of thousands of parts coming from suppliers all over the world, at first just domestically, coming from the U.S., and we were in charge of helping them fix that. But then as GE globalized, they asked us to go with them around the world. They liked what we'd done domestically. So then we became more international. We were in China and Mexico and Russia and all these different places with one customer, which is still General Electric, locomotive division, but we got good at that too. We learned that. And so I always say, when you kick over rocks, you find things, So we were in the heart of General Electric. in the corporate headquarters. We're dealing with all their suppliers and their warehouses and their customers. So you see things, and you, if you have a big mouth, you speak up and say, I can help you with that. So at first, everything was GE related. But then beyond that, we had new customers maybe 3 or 4 years after that. And we did the same thing for them. And so, like I've always said, we're a solutions company. You know, now logistics is a big name now. Everyone knows what that means. 1996, no one knew what that meant. It was, you know, it was trucking, it was warehousing, it was forwarding. But I, you know, and I always say that logistics is our DNA. We started to solve the problem of logistics for the biggest company on earth. So that's kind of always been a solutions provider, is what I've always seen ourselves. And that's taken us in newer and newer directions as the 27 years have rolled by pretty quick.
The general person in Erie, they probably know that Logistics Plus is a wildly successful global company headquartered right here. But they may not know, in recent years, UNLP had organized and you've led financial relief efforts, whether it was the war in Ukraine or this year's devastating earthquake in Turkey. You've started these relief efforts with a generous contribution of your own money, I believe. Why is it so important for you and your company to lead from the front in efforts like Ukraine and Turkey?
I think you just do the right thing, you know? I mean, like, you don't sit there and do a financial calculation for this benefit, you know, our company. I mean, you do the right thing, and I'm a big believer in karma, and that comes back to you. So, yes, you know, in Turkey and even, you know, even way back when, I mean, 9/11, we were the first company to figure out a way to get a freight airliner into the U.S. when everything was closed. It was a superhuman effort. But, you know, it's, you know, we did at the time is I called our guys together and everyone was in shock like everyone else. I said, we can't let these guys win. We can't let them stop American progress and manufacturing. So we made it like it was our mission to find a way to get freight to GE so the locomotives can continue to roll off the production line. And that was kind of our small way of saying, you guys aren't going to stop us.
Jim, that's a great story. I've never heard the 9/11 story, yeah. But that's awesome. I mean, candidly, when I hear that, it almost seems like, okay, typical LP fashion. It's the way you do business.
Yeah. Well, let me elaborate. I mean, the details are interesting. I mean, the world was shut down. No planes flying over America. Yet we had a quarter. It was September 11th. The end of the quarter was September 30th. GE still had production goals to meet by September 30th. So we, you know, even though everything's closed, we told the vendors, these were manufacturers in Germany and in Poland and in Italy. And we said, we still want to get this product here. Well, they're not flying. I said, we'll figure that out. Put it on a truck and start moving it. They said, move where? We said, well, Germany's the central point. Move it towards Germany. We're in Germany, Southern Germany. We didn't even know. But we started working to move the stuff because you can't wait till everything's figured out to start moving it. So trucks were moving towards, it turned out to be Hahn, Germany. And we talked to, I think it was D8, no, it was Emery. I'm not here anymore, but Emery at the time said, will you get us a plane? And they got us a plane. And we loaded that plane up and they said, okay, loaded. All the stuff's ready for third quarter. What do we do? He said, head west. Well, the U.S. is closed. We know, but go as far as you can. So they went to Gander, Newfoundland, up in northern Canada, and stopped. And they said, well, where are we coming to the United States? Everything's closed. We said, let us work on it. So we finally got the government. We had our people call the government, and we got Pittsburgh Airport agreed to take this freighter coming in. Well, everything's closed in Pittsburgh. The airport said they'll take it, but where? FedEx agreed to let us use their terminal and opened up the terminal for us. Customs went down to their terminal, let this thing land, cleared everything. We had a dozen trucks down there, helped unload the planes, bought them Erie, and GE made its third quarter numbers. So, and we're not heroes. I mean, just we're trying to do, you know, the right thing by a customer and by our nation at the time. But that's kind of unusual but typical of how we see and do things. So when this Ukraine war started, you know, we donated money. We've got relief products there. We've gotten Starlinks there to help them. I mean, I'm an old 60s guy, so I got a lot of idealism that was there. And you know, still, you, you try to do the right thing. That's kind of bottom line, you know.
That September 11th story, A, I've never heard it before, but B, it's certainly not surprising. Because being on the outside looking in, it really does seem like LP does thrive on challenges. Are there any other, in the past 27 years, any other challenges where you look back on now and you say, yeah, you know, we did it right?
Yeah, a lot of them, actually. We had one situation we were trying to do during the Iraq War. We got product over to Iraq to help rebuild the country. It was really, again, hard. But one of the things, and this is like a negative, I guess, like one of the things we did is when Hurricane Katrina happened. Hurricane Katrina happened on, I don't remember what year it was, but it was a Sunday or Saturday over a weekend. And Sunday, we wanted to do something to help. So I put out an APB to everybody by email. We only had probably 40, 50 people at the time. I said, look, I know it's Sunday. It's opening day of the NFL. But if you can come into work today, we're going to try to figure out a way to get some people down to help in New Orleans and Louisiana. And I think 30 of the 50 people showed up. Yeah, there was a couple who actually were at the Pittsburgh game opening day and left to come to this meeting. And we sent people down there. We tried to help. We set up, you know, trailer down there, help with relief. And you know, one of the negatives I found is you found out that our, like, let's get it done is not always the way everyone does things. Actually, we ended up getting asked to leave, quote, fired by one of the big companies down there. And the reason was that we were trying to push things quickly. And they were kind of, I think, getting paid by the hour, like a cost plus thing. So we were kind of fighting to get it done, and they were kind of fighting, slow down, you know, we got time here. So again, that was another case, same as when I got fired from Red Star. The guys, the four or five people who are down there, you know, living down there, came back sad. And I said, you know what? I gave them a hug and said, proud of you. You tried to do the right thing. These guys can't see that. Shame on them, you know. And so that was one of the kind of weird experiences in our history. Some people don't really want to get things done. They want to just talk about it and charge the government cost plus for a lot of hours.
We're speaking with Jim Berlin, the founder, owner, and chief executive officer of Logistics Plus. Jim, any other moments in LP history that stand out to you as the most proud?
No, I think those were the highlights. I mean, 9/11 was to me the most proud that I was. But again, everywhere we go, we try to preach the same thing. We try to, you know, do something, make a difference in the world. That's kind of been, it's that question leads to a different question, is the culture we've created. You know, logistics is basically moving things, and now it's, you know, Logistics Plus, so it's more than just moving things. But, you know, when I hire people, I tell them, look, this is an industry that's been there since the days of the camel caravans in the Middle East. I mean, things move. And if you look around your office, nothing in your office sprouted there. Everything gets delivered as a subculture of people, warehouses and truckers, and move things, you know, all the time. And no one thinks about. And no one, because they're big or small, you know, you have the ocean, you have four modes, ocean, air, you know, trucks, planes. So all you got to move things. And if you're FedEx or UPS, your trucks don't get to go at 100 miles an hour, and they have to stop for red lights. And all the things that, you know, the laws of physics and the rules of the road apply to all of us. So really, we're all doing the same thing. It's how you do it. And if you do it with a little bit of, you know, the passion for excellence, so you can just find a way to get it done. There's going to be obstacles. There's going to be reasons why you can say, sorry, I didn't deliver it. But try to beat that. Try not to let that win. And so that's why we've been able to compete with the biggest companies in the world and grow the way we've grown, is because when we hire people, we tell them, find a way to yes. Sometimes you'll fail, but don't give up easily and be resourceful. And that's kind of from the 9/11 stories and the Katrina stories, that's just kind of the culture. We hire people, we don't look for the resume, we look for the attitude, the fire in the belly and the, okay, I get it.
As evidenced by the many awards LP continues to receive, specifically being certified as a great workplace the past 6 years, LP has really been able to maintain its trademark culture of passion for excellence. Going from 3 employees to 1,200, how have you been able to do that?
Well, we had a great group of people around. But also, the old keep it simple, stupid rule, KISS rule. We try to do that. We try to not overdo things with structure and bureaucracy and rules and regulations. Just, again, treat people well. And it's just kind of that, I think, letting people kind of develop, hire the talent, hire the potential, not just the resume. Resumes can look great, but it doesn't really mean much. You might know how to move stuff. You might also, at 5 o'clock, oh, I'm out of here. I'll get back to this tomorrow. Well, that's too late. Tomorrow's too late to move that shipment. So I tell people that. Sometimes you get stuck. Sometimes you're going to call at night or on the weekends, and it sucks to get, interrupted from your kid's soccer game. I know that. I'm an old coach. But the problem is, in our business, you can't wait till Monday sometimes to fix something. It has to be there Monday. It's a Father's Day. It's a sale. It's a production. So it sucks. But also, if you do the job right, maybe you don't get that call. So finish it up. Get it done right. Make sure it's going to be delivered. And then you can, enjoy your downtime. But that's kind of the approach we take, is you just got to get the job done. And people that I always say, I tell people when I interview them, I said, if you don't want that, I get it. And this is probably not the profession, definitely not the company for you, if you want to just punch the clock and not be involved after hours sometimes, because it happens. And if people say, it's not for me, I say, good. It's good you know that. Find a role that's going to be good for you in life. But the people say, okay, I get that. I can own that. Those are the people you hire, and then you teach them all the tricks of the trade, how to get things done, how to find ways to yes, and everyone's telling you no. And so you have the right mentality and the right attitude. People like that can thrive in a company like ours. There's no ceilings. We have people with no experience in the industry that came in and are running, 20, 30, 50, $100 million divisions. No college degree, just they got the right mentality to lead people and to motivate them and get the job done for the customer. So it's a pretty easy path if you have all that.
Jim, is there an accolade you're most proud of?
Yeah, I think the Great Place to Work. I think that means the people there like being there. We had almost 100%, which is unheard of. I mean, and not everyone's going to be happy. I mean, we've had cases where people don't, burn out or just don't like the demands of the business. But to me, those are the demands that, make you successful. It's funny, this sounds harsh, but the line I use sometimes is, when someone's in battle and the, lieutenant tells the guys, take that hill. And some guys come back and say, they're shooting at us. Well, why no? We got to take the hill. Well, it's raining. It's slippery and we're falling in the mud. Yeah, but you got to take that hill. I mean, the ones that say, okay, I get it, boss. I'm going to go take that hill. Those are the ones that stick. The ones that find all kinds of reasons why they can't. Usually don't make it.
Jim, are there any specific philosophies, approaches, rules of thumb that have guided the way you've managed Logistics Plus?
Really simple. Just treat people right. And so we have very few rules. And rules, I was in the trucking industry for 20 years. And I was a driver for 10. I was a boss for 10. And trucking industry, the Teamster industry, is, it's ruled by this little contract book. Everything's in there. It's the gospel. But people read it on one side one way and on the other side the other way. And you fight all the time about it. To me, that was always from both sides, I didn't like that. I'm much more like let's fashion something that works for everybody. And you give people latitude to figure things out. And if someone makes a mistake, you don't automatically write them up. And that's the first of three. And the third one, you're out of here. Like, if it's someone's bad, you might want to do that. If someone doesn't care, you might have to start writing them up and say, hey, you got to get better or you're gone. But I'd much rather find, look, you made a mistake. What were you thinking? What did you learn? How are you going to avoid it next time? And then, give them a hug instead of a slap. Say, okay. It's like I always say, the guys in a football team, guy that dives and tries to make a great catch, hits the ground and the ball bounces out. Yeah, that sucks. But you want to give them a hug. Hey, good try. Hang on to it next time. But someone that short arms it because he might get hit. I don't want that guy on our team. You got to try. You got to give your best. Doesn't work. Okay, we'll work on that. But if you don't give it your all, then this is not the team for you.
Jim, twofold question. Looking back, what do you consider your single greatest business challenge over the past 27 years? And then moving forward, is there anything you're a little concerned about?
Moving forward, let me answer that first. No, not really. I think we figure things out. We evolve, we adjust. You know, the joke is we're logistics plus, and the plus is all the extra things. We're not like we're logistics plus plus. We do more than the extra things we did for the last 25 years. So I think everyone's always thinking, like, what can I do to solve a customer's problem? So to me, your service industry, as long as you're thinking of what do I do, even if it's out of our scope of work or not in our job description, how do I make their life easier? So I think, well, that's inbred in us. So I think we'll always do that. So I'm not really worried about the future. In the past, the problem, we had a specific instance, maybe 12, 15 years ago, we bought some ships, some really big ships, and that almost brought us down. So that was the closest call we had. In the long story for another episode, but it wasn't that, you know, a lot of people think, well, you bought ships, you got into something you didn't understand fully. And we did, but we figured it out, actually. We had a contract that was working for us. But we hired some people to run those that were not our kind of people, and they were the problem. So it almost brought us down. They almost bled us dry. But I'm not a big fan of the old saying, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. But in this case, it didn't kill us, and it made us a lot stronger. We had to beg customers and vendors. We had to say, look, we don't have money to pay you. I had employees I'd go say, I can't pay you. I feel awful telling you this, but we're going broke. And every one of them said, whatever you need for me as a reduction in pay for a while. And about 10 people offered that, and we did that for a while. And I had to go to vendors and say, look, I never not paid a bill. There's one guy that's up in Canada, had us by the throat. And I went to see him, and I said, look, I said, you don't know me real well. You just know my company, not me. But my grandfather in 1928 paid back a debt of $50,000 that he'd gone bankrupt. The debt had been forgiven, and he paid it back. And at the end of World War II, he had war bonds that he had bought to support the war effort. And then you can redeem them, tore them up and says, this country doesn't owe me a dime. I said, that blood is in me. I said, I don't know how, but trust us, don't shut us down, and we will find a way to pay you. And we paid everybody every dime we owed. The people trusted us. And really one of the best lessons I've learned in all these years, because I'm not a business guy. I mean, I'm a truck driver, man. But when we're going down, the banks we worked with, the bank was, you know, M&T Bank, the vice president in Buffalo came to us and said, look, I know you're not big in business plans. I need you to come up with a business plan. How are you going to survive this crisis that I can show my boss? So we come up with some cockamamie. Here's how it's going to work. And he gets the loan for us, keeps us alive. He comes back to me afterwards. He says, Jim, that business plan is not worth the paper it's written on. He says, but most of them aren't. He says, but I believe in you. My boss trusts me. So you're going to get the loan. And I said, huh. That's how it works. I always thought it worked that way, but that was kind of the proof that it does. And, you know, and there's still our bank, you know, 20 years after that, and we have multi-million dollar lines of credit we don't even use anymore. I mean, so I guess we're not such a good money maker for them right now, but they love seeing our success. And if we ever need more cash, they'd be there the first to give it to us.
Jim, as a successful entrepreneur, can you offer any advice to any new or prospective business owners out there?
Simple. It's all about people. I've put out a quote of the day for the last 30 years, and it goes from, you know, from Dr. Seuss to Aristotle. But one of them is, great ideas are a dime a dozen. The people who can put them into practice are priceless. And that's very, very true. You have a million ideas. It could look great on paper, but, you know, the reality is people have to make it happen. And so it's who you bring along on the, you know. Another thought of the day the other day was is it the destinations or the journey? It's important. And the answer is, it's the people that go along with you. So if you hire the right people with the right attitude, you treat them well, I think that is the answer to you know, the success in business.
Last month, Yuri Estapia was on the program, and he talked about LP's expanded operations around the world. Do you have any updates on that front, or are there any global activities that you're most excited about right now?
Yeah, we're going all over. He's doing a great job. He's running the operations, you know, day to day, new offices in Netherlands and in Poland and in Ukraine and in Thailand and in Japan, Brazil. I mean, there's just a lot of growth. And again, the trick is finding the right kind of people that have the same, because you can buy a company, but if they're different culture, it's not going to fit in the end. So finding the right people, and we've learned is people we've worked with for years in most cases. So they know us, they know our style, it's a little bit crazy, but they like that. We know them, they're a little bit crazy. They work long hours when they have to, they get the job done. So finding that synergy between people, and we want to keep looking for that. You don't just go buy the numbers on a sheet of paper, because the culture makes the difference. And I think these new offices should be big successes. So the growth kind of just spirals. I mean, we started out with 3 people, now we've 1,200, we'll probably be thousands in a year or two. Just a knock on wood, of course. And just being smart, don't be stupid is one of my favorite quotes of the day.
Jim, we know you're not a big look into the future crystal ball guy, but where would you like to see LP go over the next few years?
You know, that's been the question for 27 years now. And one of the guys, a friend of mine that owned a big company in India, he says, I'll race you to $1 billion. That's his thing. And I said, to be a $1 billion company would be cool as hell. But I said, I would not want to be a $1 billion company if it wasn't fun working there anymore. And so I think he lost focus. He looked at that number and his culture changed and his company hasn't been that successful. Whereas we, look to keep the culture true. And then I think the $1 billion someday, and someday not that far in the future, will be a byproduct of that. So it's just, keeping the culture true to itself, putting service first, treating people right, finding ways to yes, open to new ideas, and just that to me is the answer. And as long as it stays where it's motivating and fun and challenging, we'll attract people that want to be part of that ride. And so who knows where it ends up? I got no clue.
We're with Jim Berlin, the founder, owner, and chief executive officer of Logistics Plus. Jim, once again, thanks for joining us today. Congratulations on 27 years. But before we let you go, is there anything that we missed today that you'd like to share regarding Logistics Plus or the past 27 years?
No, I appreciate your support, Joe. Everyone in Erie has been a big supporter for us. Yeah, we just keep trying to do the right thing and keep growing, and that's all.
Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. You can access today's program or other episodes of Business Spotlight by clicking on the podcast tab on our homepage. Join us again next week as UPMC Hammett is in the Business Spotlight.